Tibor McCoskey was born in Hungary. As a teenager, Tibor evaded the Nazis three times before being captured and sent to a labor camp. Of that experience, he said, he hated having to watch starving children grab at food like animals. He survived the war, and like 11 to 20 million other people displaced from their homes, Tibor had no place to go. The Allies, working with the United Nations, set up displaced persons camps. There were several facilities specifically for orphaned children. Tibor ended up at the first of these, Kloster Indersdorf in Germany. In this image on the screen, we see Tibor at age 92. This was taken a few years ago, I think 2017 or 18. Tibor was 92 at that time and living in New York City. He's standing in front of a picture of himself at Kloster Indersdorf in 1946. Tibor recalls that the older orphans, like himself, at mealtimes would reassure the younger kids they would have food the next day. Tibor said, the kids were worried that there wouldn't be any bread the next day, so that they would grab food and take it to their bunk beds. If we're honest, we're not much different from those orphans who were afraid that tomorrow there would be no bread. Like those children, we have known real lack when the bread, whatever we were counting on to sustain us, was simply not there. Or not there in sufficient supply to meet the need. We know from personal experience, it is possible to wake up tomorrow and there is, in fact, no bread. Maybe your bread, that which you count on to sustain you, is money, your job, your spouse, your children, your parents, your friends, your addiction, your church, your social status, your reputation. Whatever is bread for you, when you lose it, you know the agony. You know the hunger is real. In a fallen world, we know that the lack of daily bread is a genuine threat. Jesus is the ultimate realist. Jesus directly tells us, in this world you will have trouble. Then Jesus gives us another lesson in reality. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Here Jesus is teaching us that because he has overcome the trouble of this world, we too, in him, have overcome the trouble life brings to us. We know that our Father in heaven knows we need our daily bread and has made provision to give it to us, just as he daily gave manna from heaven to the children of Israel. However, in our fallen condition, we naturally doubt the goodness and the ability of our Father to provide for our daily needs. The life of Jesus in us will, over time, overcome this doubt. When we sincerely pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we intentionally throw our complete dependency on our Heavenly Father's goodness, willingness, and ability to give us today what we need spiritually, emotionally, intellectually, and physically. The big idea of today's message is simple. Our Father in heaven will supply all our needs every day. So here's where we're going today. Actually, we're not going to talk about three sources. We're just going to talk about one source of our persistent doubt and why trusting our Father in heaven, our Father in heaven overcomes these troubles, and how praying the Lord's Prayer builds trust in our Heavenly Father. So let's join together in praying the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. So what is the basic cause of our persistent doubt? It all starts with trouble in the garden. We read this in Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden'?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Thus began all our troubles. The temptation was to doubt God's goodness. The temptation was to entertain the idea that God is holding something back from us that is desirable for our well-being. It was an effective temptation. Adam and Eve fell for it. All of humankind since then have fallen for it. even we who are children of our Heavenly Father fall for it. The cause of our persistent doubt is a mistrust of the absolute goodness of our Heavenly Father. When we doubt the goodness of our Heavenly Father, life is dangerously uncertain. We do not know if the next moment will help us or irreparably harm us. Thus we dread the harm that may come. The good that comes to us comes tinged with grief because we know it will not last. When we trust completely the goodness of God, believing that He is working all things for our good, because we love Him and because He has enfolded us into His good purposes, then we know that all that feels horrible to us has in it no ultimate harm for us. In fact, that which feels horrible must work for our ultimate good, which is to become more like Jesus. When we know that Christ in us, or then we know that Christ in us has overcome the trouble of this world, not in theological theory, but in our personal experience. If you are a child of God, you have experienced this. Remember where and how God overcame the trouble of this world in your life. It is there. Many, many times, if you've walked long enough with the Lord, as most of us have, my exhortation to you is to take that, in a sense, as a sacrament. The body of Christ broken to you in those moments as you have feasted on Him and gained sustenance and found that there was sufficient for you to overcome the troubles of this world. When we trust the Lord completely, we can receive the joys of this life with no twinge of grief, for we will receive whatever comes from the hand of God's goodness. When we trust the Lord completely, life becomes predictably stable. We know that all things, pain and joy, make us more like Jesus, which is the goal. In Christ, we will have completely overcome the world. Now, I want to say to us, as gently and as pastorally as I can here, that until we get to the point where becoming like Jesus is the point, is the goal of our life, is that which for which we exist, we will not be satisfied in this life. We won't find satisfaction. We will always be running after something. Because Jesus says, I I am the bread of life. I am the one who will satisfy you. I and only I will do that. When you take of me, you feast on me, you eat me and bring me into your life to sustain you. You'll find that these other things that you're running after, they'll fall into place in their proper place. This does not mean that we will not have days when we feel horrible, days when we struggle, days when we doubt, days when we fear. But through it all runs a divine stability. The rock solid truth that God is working all things to my ultimate good. Our life as individuals and as a church family is stable, come what may, because we have a good, good Father in heaven. So why can we trust the goodness of our Father in heaven? Let's take it, this little phrase, our phrase for today, one word at a time. Our prayer begins with give. We begin our prayer with give us today. It is an imperative request with a sense of urgency. It implies we are asking for something that is due to us or promised to us. As God's children through faith in Christ Jesus, it is natural that we look to our Heavenly Father expecting He will provide all that is necessary for our ultimate well-being. We have the audacity not to call upon our Father merely to think kindly of us, but to do something, to act on our behalf. The word translated give in this verse has the sense of bestowing something upon someone. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says this of this specific word, quote, "It has its richest significance in the expressing of God's abundant gift of grace and love." In 1 John 3:1, that word is translated lavished. This way, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We can trust our Heavenly Father to give us our daily bread because He has already lavished His grace and love upon us in giving us His Son to die for our sins. Through our faith in Jesus, the Father claims us as His children. Because God is perfect, we can trust Him to parent us perfectly. We continue. Give us, Jesus said. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? We can trust the goodness of our Heavenly Father because He is perfect and delights to give good gifts. Gifts that will make us perfect as He is perfect. We can trust our perfect Father to parent us perfectly. personally and as a church family. We can trust that whatever He allows, no matter how it feels, is ultimately good for us. And whatever He forbids, no matter how good and right it might seem to us, will ultimately harm us. We continue. Give us today. Today is our present moment. It excludes the past and the future. Give us today. Means we cast our dependence on our Heavenly Father for what we need right now. If we're going to trust God at all, we must ground our trust in the present moment. When we trust God today, right now, then we will have trusted God in the past when today becomes yesterday. When we trust God today, we will have trusted God in the future when tomorrow becomes today. Then we will know in our own experience, individually and as a church family, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust the goodness of our Father in heaven because we know that just as our Father was good to us yesterday, He will be good to us today, and He will be good to us tomorrow and forever. Give us today our. In this petition, Jesus teaches us to ask for what is rightfully ours, that which we already possess. Let's follow the New Testament logic on this point. For in Him, that is in Christ, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. But in these last days, the Father has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Now, if we are children of God, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. And all of that brings us to the point. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? We can trust the goodness of our Father in heaven because He has made Jesus the heir of all things. We are co-heirs with Jesus. Therefore, all that is good for us is already ours in Christ Jesus. Our Father will not withhold from us anything that is ultimately for our well-being. This does not mean that we will have everything we want and everything we ask for. Because everything we want and everything we ask for is not always best for us. As parents, we make those judgments for our own children because we can see that clearly. So I'm going to take a moment. I hadn't planned to, but I'm just going to take a moment to tell you a little story about that. in my own life. When I was a kid, back in the day, back in the 70s, you know, the 70s did exist. So I lived on a street, was full of kids. You know, my age, a little older than me, a little younger than me, but I mean, we were just a pack. I mean, we're just a herd. We just moved as a herd. And everybody on the street had a mini bike but me. Everybody. I mean, I wanted a mini bike. I begged for a mini bike. And my parents said, no, it's not going to happen because we think it's dangerous. We think it's dangerous. And so, you know, as we graduated, the mini bikes got bigger and then they became small motorcycles. And so, just because I didn't have a mini bike didn't mean I wasn't riding mini bikes, right? So they were putting in a new dam close to us. In my hometown, they were damming the Chattahoochee River. And so we could take our little motorcycles and drive through old logging trails for about a couple of miles, and we could be right where we could see where they were digging out the reservoir to build the dam. And it was about, when you got there, it was, I'd say, 100-foot drop down, right? So me and my friend Richard were out there, and I had ridden out there on the back of Richard's bike with him. So when Richard had wandered off somewhere, and I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny if I just hopped on that bike and just left Richard standing here? That's what came into my mind. And the next thing I knew, I was on that bike. I got on that bike, I popped the clutch, and I was over on one wheel, and I was completely out of control, and I was heading towards the bank. And I don't know whether I just fell off, or I brought it down, or whatever. Somehow I ended up on the ground. But I was feet. Just feet from plunging to my death. And then I knew a little bit of my mom and dad's wisdom. It was, in fact, dangerous. Oh, hi, Mom. I guess you probably don't know that. Well, now you do. Give us today our daily bread. Not that your boys haven't done similar. Our daily bread is that which is a constant requirement for sustaining our life. We need our daily bread today, tomorrow, and the next day. We will never stop needing our daily bread. Our daily bread is that which sustains our physical well-being. God knows we need these things, and He provides them for us every day. Jesus said, "Do not worry. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them." Our good Father in heaven intends to meet our physical needs necessary for our body life, which is temporary and perishing. God intends to meet our physical needs within the context of us first seeking that which will nourish our soul, which is alive for eternity. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, with these words ringing in our minds and hearts, hear again the words of our Lord. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We can trust the goodness of our Father in heaven to give us our daily bread, because he has already given to us that which is most necessary for us, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. As we feast on Jesus, as we grow deeper in allowing the life of Jesus to flow through us to satisfy our spiritual hunger, our Father will provide for our physical needs in the ways most beneficial to us becoming like Jesus. So in closing, I want to touch briefly on how praying the Lord's Prayer builds trust in our Heavenly Father's goodness. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, particularly this petition, we daily lay our needs before Him. We trust our Father to take care of them in the best way for our well-being. And then we are attentive to what happens. We ask Father for something. We trust Him to give it to us or not give it to us in whatever is best for us. But we are attentive to what happens next. How does God respond to that? Is it yes? Is it no? Is it not now? How do you interpret that? But pay attention to what happens next, because something happens next. And whatever happens next, we receive what our Father sends to us with thankfulness, especially when what God sends to us does not meet our current hopes and expectations. And that's the hard part, right? It's great when we can say, I prayed for this and God did this. This is awesome. Or it's a lot more difficult when you pray for this and this doesn't come. This doesn't come. Been experiencing a lot of that lately. Ever since coronavirus, I have really been struggling physically and emotionally and spiritually. And often I pray to God. I say, oh Lord, please energize me. Give me the physical and emotional and the spiritual strength that I want to have. And say, I have in my mind what that is. I know what Jeff looks like and feels like and what he can do when that is the case. And what God has been returning to me lately is, well, not today, my friend. Not today. But at the same time, when I look back, I see that he has given me the spiritual, emotional, and physical strength for what I needed to do, what absolutely had to be done. I may not have had reserve, but what absolutely had to be done, he gave me what I need. He gave me what I need. He gives me what I need. You know? So we get disappointed when it doesn't come wrapped in the package we want. But sometimes we are actually getting what we've asked for, but our expectations of how that's supposed to look keeps us from recognizing how God is actually answering that prayer. So this is the practice. We dare not say prayer is not practical. We must practice telling our Father what we need, trusting Him, observing what happens, and receiving what happens with thankfulness. We will either practice this or we will not practice this. Will you practice prayer this month? Last Sunday I sent an email with a link to a little survey that says, I commit to pray the Lord's Prayer through Sunday, May 30th. And then there's four options, each morning and evening, each morning, each evening, or as simply as I remember. And currently, I think 19 of us have committed to doing that. And right now, that same email is in your box. If you've already done it, don't do it again. But if you haven't done it, this is an opportunity to once again say, yes, I will commit to praying the Lord's Prayer during this time, to practicing prayer. We created a faith life group. And I mean, when I say we, I mean Greg. Greg created a faith life group for persons committed to praying the Lord's Prayer this month. And in that group, we'll share our experiences in prayer and have access to a few more resources and encourage each other. Just imagine what might happen among us if we all committed to meaningfully praying the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you that you're a good Father and that you will meet our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Build in us great